Right now, the National Park Service faces an $11 billion maintenance backlog in its more than 42,000 properties. This includes some Wisconsin sites, like the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. We'll first talk to a reporter about where Wisconsin sites stand with maintenance. Then we'll talk to two lighthouse experts for a look at the significance of the Lake Superior landmarks. Danielle Kading is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She's based in Superior. Danny, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. Happy Tuesday.
Well, you reported on this national story, this backlog of maintenance at the Park Service. Where is that affecting us here in Wisconsin?
Most of that is being seen roll out on the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. They are home to 9 lighthouses, the most of any national park in the nation. And they just have trouble keeping up with some of these historic structures. And they've also had trouble with docks and trails and just regular maintenance that needs to be done on the islands, of which there are 21.
And how does this play out then? Is the head of the Apostle Islands Park facing off with colleagues around the country to try to get up in this queue for backlog funding?
Yeah, well, definitely they're all competing with each other as far as funding goes. But generally, the National Park Service has been able to provide funding for that. Or, you know, in some cases, they've been able to make improvements to some of these light stations under the term of historic preservation, because a number of them are quite old. And they were able to get some funding from Congress back around 7 or 8 years ago to help restore some of these lighthouses and, you know, just do regular maintenance like on the roof or clear out any hazardous substances, stuff like that.
And we don't have anything called a national park in Wisconsin, but we have national forests and lakeshores and trails. What are some of the other areas that could be affected by a backlog in maintenance funding?
Well, the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway, which is located in eastern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin, they also are seeing a little bit of a backlog. They have a backlog of around $1.4 million, and that basically has to do with regular maintenance of their campsites and river landings and boat lots. So that's the kind of stuff that they're seeing. Or, you know, just maybe if they, for example, have a building and they need to upgrade the heating and cooling, it all adds up.
And is there any idea how this, if they're ever going to catch up with this backlog at the national level and then at Apostle Islands and elsewhere in the state?
Well, you know, I think some of the idea is that people are kind of watching to see what might happen with this infrastructure bill that Trump has been talking a lot about, investing in infrastructure nationwide, President Trump. And a lot of the maintenance that needs to be done in the national parks has to do with roads. I think around $6 billion of it is basically restoring roads and buildings at the national parks. So if you see any kind of federal funds come down for infrastructure improvements across the country, that might help national parks that, you know, at least the ones that have that $4 billion worth of road repairs that need to get done. Otherwise, I think it's you just kind of are taking care of things as you prioritize them and as you can.
And Danny, we're going to take a closer look at these lighthouses in just a minute. But if I can switch gears for a moment, I understand the ice caves still not open up there. Are you looking forward to getting out to the caves if and when they do open this year?
You know, I will be happy to freeze my butt off if they do open. I'll trek out there along with everyone else. Actually, I haven't been out there before. The first time that they froze over, I wasn't out there. So I'd be really happy to go if they form. But it looks like it's going to be a warm weekend and the ice has blown out into the lake again. So we'll just keep watching it and see what happens.
All right, Danny, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
That's Danielle Kading, reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She's based in Superior. She joined us to talk about a National Park Service's maintenance backlog and how it affects Wisconsin. And we talked a lot there about the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore as a site with maintenance needs, in part because of the 9 lighthouses there. Ken and Barb Wardius are co-authors of Wisconsin Lighthouses, a photographic and historical guide. They travel nationally as lighthouse lecturers, and they belong to a lot of organizations dedicated to the preservation of lighthouses. Barb, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Our pleasure. Thank you.
And Ken, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Rob. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the significance of these lighthouses at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Barb, why don't you jump in first? Tell us why these are a big deal for us here in Wisconsin.
They are historic sites. They are very important to our rich maritime history in Wisconsin. Lighthouses all over the world, as you probably know, are threatened, but these are especially in danger because of the lack of funds. And anyone that owns a home knows what maintenance costs are like. So we're certainly hoping for the best.
And Ken, can you talk about the history of our lighthouses in the Apostle Islands?
Well, as you mentioned before, Rob, there's 21 islands. This was a very important part of Lake Superior as Europeans move westward. The Sioux Locks and the Sault Ste. Marie were opened in 1855. So this was the last portion of the western section of Lake Superior that would be colonized and eventually be very important shipping routes. So the nine lighthouses from Ashland to the Apostle Islands to Superior, these were the routes that goods would travel. Those were the modern superhighways of that time. Before railroads were built, many goods went via ships, via these large ships. And with all the different islands in the Apostle area, there were many hazards, of course. So many, many lighthouses were in need of being built.
Can you talk, Barb, a little bit about the life of the lighthouse keeper? I know they were automated after a time. Now we don't rely on lighthouses like we used to. But in their heyday, what was the lighthouse keeper doing?
Sure, of course. Early on, there were positions that were usually political in nature. If you were a Civil War veteran, you may be appointed to a lighthouse. If you had some aptitude in maintenance and obviously boating and that kind of thing. The day-to-day life was mundane at best. It's a government job, so you're strictly regulated. Mariners depended very, very much on the lighthouses being lit properly every evening. So, of course, the lighthouse keeper was responsible for the care and lighting of the lamp every night. During the day, he would be cleaning. He would be polishing the brass, getting all the soot off the glass French-made Fresnel lens to get it ready for the night. In between, there was probably painting and cleaning. They were also able to hunt and fish to provide food. They were always busy doing something.
And Ken, let's look at a couple of the particular lighthouses on the islands. I understand Raspberry Island is one of the most visited. What can you tell us about the lighthouse there?
Raspberry is just one of our favorites, Rob. It is the most visited. If you go to the Apostle Islands cruise service, in Bayfield, spring through fall, they offer various boat trips. Raspberry is spectacular. You know, we had mentioned before some of the maintenance issues at some of the lighthouses in the Apostles. Raspberry is really kind of the standard of what the others should look like. There have been some monies allocated over the years for renovation and restoration. Raspberry Island is a very large complex. In addition to the keeper's house and the light tower itself, many stations had other structures. There's a large boathouse on Raspberry Island, a fuel building, the privy, what's known as, it's a fancy name for an outhouse, but it's a very spacious station, and the National Park Service has done a really nice job over the last several decades of shoring it up and doing the maintenance that we talked about that's so much needed at some of the other lights. It's in the period of not quite a century ago, in the 1920s or so. They also staffed the park there with National Park Service docents, also some volunteers. So if there's any lighthouse in the Apostles we would recommend visiting, it would be Raspberry because of the maintenance and the restoration that's gone on over the years.
And Barb, I think of the life of the keeper as being really solitary, but I understand there were families there. Sand Island was home to a keeper couple for a while.
Yes, Sand Island was built in 1881, and one of the earlier keepers there was Emmanuel Lewick and his wife Ella. They married when she was 16. And on that island, there happened to be a fishing village and just some regular settlers on the island as well. So they did have a bit of a social life. However, the log books tell us that after about 10 years, Miss Ella simply had enough of lighthouse life, and she left the island never to return. They did divorce a year later, but Mr. Lewis did remarry, having four children, and he stayed in the Lighthouse Service for almost 30 years, so he must have liked his job very, very much.
And Ken, can you talk about the benefits of having these lighthouses still standing in good repair and accessible to the public as far as what we learn about our history there?
Yeah, Barb and I are huge proponents of maritime history, as she mentioned. We grew up in Milwaukee. We're fortunate to be near Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. As we got a little older, we appreciated, I think, history, you know, much better. The Apostle Islands really is a special area, not only in Wisconsin, but in western Lake Superior. Now, these were very important shipping routes, as I mentioned, very important to the development, you know, the Bayfield, you know, Ashland, LaPointe on Madeline Island, Duluth and Superior. So they historically, they're very important. It talks about, you know, Wisconsin's history, Wisconsin's culture, things back then. Yes, they were different than today. Some of the many things we take for granted today, you know, we're not present then. But it's really they're nice remnants of the past, and it's important, we think, to remember that history, remember that part of Wisconsin's past.
We'll leave it there for now. Ken and Barb, thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Ken and Barb Wardius are co-authors of Wisconsin Lighthouses, a photographic and historical guide. They joined us to talk about the stories and history of the lighthouses on the Apostle Island National Lakeshore.